Hey, hey, happy Halloween, everybody! Before we jump into this episode, I do need to tell you guys something. It is literally 5:43 in the evening, and I started doing this episode at a little before 8 a.m., and I ran into snafu after snafu after snafu, and I've been yanking my hair out all day, even shed a few tears, not afraid to admit that. But anyways, I just had technical difficulties, my computer was running out of room, I was deleting things that weren't necessary, and I won't get into the long story and bore you guys because it's Halloween, but just so you know, I had to end up using my recording, which wouldn't let me record anymore on my computer, and use my sister's computer. So it's a recording of a recording. So the sound quality at the first 40 minutes is not going to be probably the best. But then as soon as you are done hearing an individual story, Sweet Joan Gunter, then you're going to hear it get louder. So I just wanted to let you guys know, but that's how much I love you guys and love this podcast. I could have just said, screw it, not going to do it, but I didn't want to leave you guys hanging dry without an episode for Halloween, so here we go.
Hair-raising, bone-chilling, the most ghoulish of greetings to my sinfully delicious blood donors. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with a werewolf howling there, the colors changing here, and everything to fear. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes. It's Halloween, and I'm sick. Everybody's sick in town. I don't know what's going on. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your spookiest of evenings. First of all, a very happy Halloween to every single one of you. Whether you are trick-or-treating, taking the kiddos out for trick-or-treating, throwing an adult Halloween party, doing a scary movie marathon, or, yes, even to the folks that are hiding downstairs in the basement from would-be trick-or-treaters. I hope that your day is filled with nothing but ghouls and spookiness. This bonus episode, spooky and special city shoutouts are West Haven, Connecticut, Pikesville, Maryland, New Rochelle, New York, Edinburgh, Indiana, and actually one of the people that you are going to be hearing from is from this town, so that's like pretty badass. Limerick, Ireland, and Kyiv, Ukraine. Thanks everybody, it's greatly appreciated. Halloween. Scary movies. Caramel apples, pumpkin spice, jack-o'-lanterns, munching on those pumpkin seeds, the sounds of children excitedly giggling, and the pitter-patter of them running to the next house. Candy galore. Trick or treat, or you better believe you will smell my feet. I say it every year, and I'm going to say it again. This is the best time of the year. It truly is. Just say it. Today, you are going to hear from people sharing their personal encounters with the paranormal, the supernatural, and the unknown. Some may be spooky, while others are validation that past loved ones are here spiritually visiting. I am just super, super stoked. I always love the Halloween episodes because I love hearing what everybody has to share. They bring something different to the table. So, without further ado, I am going to introduce my very first guest, then the first blood donor, who's going to share something, is my dear friend and past guest, Gail Goff. She is from the town Too Tough to Die, Tombstone, Arizona, baby. And here we go.
My dad died when I was 14 years old, and I'm the one that found him. I was a big-time tomboy when I was a kid, and I have fond memories of getting off the school bus and running into the backyard of our house as we lived out in the country, and he would have my horse ready and up and saddled for me, and off I would go. When he died, we were at church. He had told my mother that he had heartburn, and he went out to the car to get Thompson Rolaids. That is not what it was, and a massive heart attack killed him, and I'm the one that found him. About 3 months later, I was laying in bed wide awake staring at the ceiling, and I said out loud, "Daddy, I miss you." I felt a firm grip on my right hand, and I will never forget it. And I said, "Daddy, is that you?" And then it released. He drove an old 57 Chevy Apache 10 truck, and for months I would hear it drive up in our driveway and turn off, and the headlights of it would appear in my bedroom window. Even though we lived in the middle of the block and there were no roads leading up to the backside of our house, I honestly think to this day he was letting me know that he was okay and that he was watching over me and my mom. And he did not go on until he knew that we were going to be okay.
First of all, I have to say, I'm so saddened that she lost her father at such a young, tender age, and that she's the one that had to find him. Like, I can't even imagine about that. So my heart, even though it's been so long ago, I'm sure it's still fresh in her mind. So my heart just really goes out to you, Gal. And I do have to say, though, that I love that he came to visit her. I think that's really a phenomenal thing, and not everybody gets to experience that. And I think that is like one of the most phenomenal gifts that we can get. Next up is my dear friend, Barry Fitzgerald, past guest of the radio show and the podcast. Barry was one of the lead investigators for Ghost Hunters International. Great show. He's a phenomenal investigator, researcher, author. I mean, he's clearly a man of several talents. He is based out of the ever so gorgeous Ireland, a place that has been forever on my bucket list. And this is what Barry had to share. Take it away, Barry.
Happy Halloween, Tessa, or as we call it back here in Ireland, Samhain. I bring you this beautiful depiction of Ireland with the Atlantic Ocean behind me, high up on top of Eagle Rock on the west coast. Now, this particular place shares a common factor with the ancient Babylonian gods, or the belief in the gods, in that they lived, resided in this huge lofty residence on top of the mountains known as Iagal, Eagle, you see the crossover. The masks in which these beings have continued to interact with us have depicted themselves as being the gods, the old gods, as being the djinn, the fairy, even grey alien. But they all share this common factor in which they seem to be coming from one source, which is something both myself and co-author Steve Mira are exploring in our next publication, Staring Into Darkness, in which we believe we have found the location of where they're coming from and why. But I digress, because I wanted to share a particular story with you which really demonstrates the deceptive nature of the phenomenon. You see, I used to explore places like this with my canine friend Maximilian, or Max for short, a beautiful animal with a wonderful soul. But sadly, I lost him several years ago, which tore a hole in my heart, which I'm still trying to recover from. Since then, of course, we have a new canine friend, Mina, who can only be described as a small hippopotamus on amphetamines within the house, and she's full of character as well, but certainly will not be replacing Maximilian. But the story I wanted to share was that one particular night in my home, I woke to hear the cries of Max downstairs. Now, this is after he was gone, and thinking it was possibly a dream, I lay still, perfectly still, listening in the dark, and I came again. Confused, I thought possibly it was Mina. Whenever I put my feet out of the bed, Mina was sitting at the foot of the bed. certainly was not Mina creating the noise. And I stepped out onto the landing. The landing was only lit by two skylights, and the moonlight was penetrating through. Suddenly the hairs on my arms and my neck stood up. That was my shadow. That was my soul telling me, be aware. Because at that particular moment, the alarm bells were sounded. I was being told, this is not next. Now, this shows the deceptive nature of the phenomena and the way it can interact with us. At moments, especially moments in which they find our weaknesses. The moment that I became aware that this was not Max, the phenomena backed off immediately. It left because the game was up. So, as Halloween comes around and is upon us, folks, be aware of the deceptive nature of the phenomena. But most of all, have a wonderful and safe Halloween.
So, I just need to say that Barry actually sent me a video. So, the recording that you were hearing just now was actually a movie. And I am going to do my best to get that on my Paranormal Prowlers podcast Facebook page and also on my regular Facebook page so you guys can go check it out. And he did just such a great job with that, which is no shocker, obviously. But you get to see the Atlantic behind him, and he's in Ireland, and so you're getting all that beauty. And then he also shows his beloved Maximilian, may he rest in peace, that sweet boy, so precious. And then Mina is there as well. She is so cute. But you know, that's really spooky, in my opinion, that this spirit was manipulating the sound of Maximilian. Thankfully, Barry stopped in his tracks, and he just knew every fiber of his being. He's like, okay, that's not my dog. That's not Maximilian. That's not Max. So it makes you just kind of wonder, what were the intentions of the spirit? Like, what was it trying to do or gain? Why mimic a beloved family pet who's no longer here? Barry is a super busy guy, so I really appreciate him doing this, and I can't wait for his newest book to come out. He's going to let me know when that is, and I will let you guys know as well. And why don't you go on TV, go to wherever you can find Ghost Hunters International, and binge watch it. Watch Barry do what he does best. Next up, you are going to hear about a true event that happened, and it's amazing that nobody got hurt. My mother, Kimana, and a woman who has become a really dear family friend named Miranda, they are going to tell you the story together. They are sharing this from Del Norte, Colorado. Take it away, you lovely ladies.
This is Kimana and Miranda. And we have a joint story, actually, don't we?
We do.
Mm-hmm. It was August 6th, and it was actually a sad day because I had been taking care of my mom's little dog, Curly, and he was just, you know, fading away more and more. So that day, I had an appointment with the vet so we could say goodbye, and I went in to take a shower. And when I came out to just check on him, he was actually standing in the doorway, which is something he hadn't done for a couple days because he was so weak. So I put him on his bed and gave him his little stuffed animal and put some nice music on. And then I went in there to, you know, finish getting ready only for a couple minutes. When I walked back out, he had passed away on his own. And it was like an hour and a half before I had the appointment with the vet. So right then, you know, I sat down with him, and my niece called him. When I told her what happened, that he decided to leave all on his own, which is pretty miraculous. I have a lot of rescue animals, and it's the first time I've ever had one leave on its own, a dog anyway. I did have a cat once. Anyway, as I sit down to talk to my niece, there is
was bringing poor little guy back home from the vet after we had to say goodbye, all of a sudden, out of the blue, there was this rolling thunder like I've never heard before and after. It was just like, ba-ba-ba-ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's little guy and Miko reuniting. And they're just playing, horsing around up there. They're so happy to see each other. And so I really did, you know, when she said it was Curly saying goodbye, I was like, you know, honey, I think you're probably right. And that's where then that Miranda, who's been living up here at Angel Rock Ranch, she knew that Curly was going to be saying goodbye on that day, but didn't know this happened. And then the very next day, I see her outside. She said, well, how did it go with Curly? And I said, well, you know, I told her the story. And she goes, oh my gosh. And then this was her story from that exact same time the day before.
Yes. Kim had let me know that this day she was going to be going to town to, she had an appointment to have her mom's sweet little dog put down. So I already knew that was going on. And I work remote, and I was just staying at the cottage for a week, set up my table outside and my whole workstation, and everything was going great. And all of a sudden, all the internet went out. And so I turned my Nighthawk on, and there was no data either anywhere around. And so I got super frustrated because I really had to get my stuff done that day. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go to town where my parents work in the valley during season with hay. And they were staying in town at an RV park. And so I was like, I'm just going to grab everything and run up there and finish my work using their Wi-Fi. Because Kim, I figured, was already gone. I figured I better take my dogs for a walk first. And I looked around, couldn't figure out even why that Wi-Fi was out, because it was clear skies. You could see a little bit of a storm cloud miles and miles away to the west, but nothing was above us. And so I took them for a walk, a quick little walk. It was super hot even that day because I carried my little one most of the way. And when we got almost back to the cottage, my little dog that never runs off like this takes off down a different path. And she wouldn't stop when I called her. She'd just look at me and keep trucking. And so I called the other two dogs back and went to go get her. And as soon as I got to her, I don't even really know to call it lightning, because it didn't look like lightning at first. A bright ball of blue flashed in front of me right next to the cottage, and it knocked me on my butt. Like, it was very powerful. I felt it shock me in my nose, my mouth, all my fingers, my toes, and even my belly button, and immediately just started thinking my little dog, because it struck right where we would have been. And even a little bit after the blue flash, there was little lightning tails that came off of it. It didn't come from the sky. But one of them even looked like it was chasing Vlad, my big dog. One did shoot up towards the sky, but again, it was blue skies. What was weird was one of my first initial thoughts when I got back to the cabin was, I wonder what time that appointment was for Kim's mom's dog. I don't know why that went through my head at that time, but it did. It knocked out all the power and everything. The rest of the day, I didn't even care about work anymore. It was so shocking and terrifying, honestly, but at the same time, it wasn't terrifying. And then, was it later that day? It was the next day, Kim had come to talk to me. That's when we put our two stories together and realized that the lightning strike and the loud thunder boom was at the exact same time as when Curly had went on over the Rainbow Bridge. So he was a little guy, but he obviously had some big power.
He had a big exit, that's for sure.
It really did. The weird thing was,
recording and the conversation went on, so I had to record again, so this is another part of that conversation. Crazy stuff. Shocking stuff.
Yeah, what was so crazy and ironic about it was my mom's little dog that she had for so many years, and came up here with her all the time, she had just that same day, the altitude got to her, and she died of heart failure that very same day, and was kind of why I was already in kind of a more spiritual and even just almost down mood was about that. And so, and they both had little crooked mouths. So
yeah,
I wonder if that took off together.
Right. She got sick that night, so by the, then they took her to the vet late at night, and then she passed away, was it early in the morning?
In the morning,
same day. And that's why it's strange. Yes. So then when we got, you were worried about, you know, Curly and about, and we had just kind of met, so we weren't, we were talking, but not, you know, as, you know, in a whole lot of detail. She knew Curly was going to be put down, and that's why you didn't want to talk to me, because you're already feeling so sad, I mean, mm-hmm. about your mom's girl, which happens to be a dog that you had rescued years before.
Yes. And yes. So this dog knew Curly? Did they know each other?
Oh, no, my mom had had her out here the day before.
They when I got to meet, she and her mom was holding her, so I didn't get to see her. And then when I told you about Curly, you're like, well, you know, you're not going to believe this, but
yes.
My mom's dog last night, the one that you met, you know, passed away because she was having a problem with altitude, they thought.
Mm-hmm. And well, it makes you wonder if your mom's dog was waiting to welcome Curly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could have been, you know, gosh, maybe. You just don't know what happens in situations like that. Maybe that's why it was such a big booming collision.
So. I just know in my spirit that it was definitely connected. Definitely.
Yeah, there was something there.
So what really kind of rattled me afterwards is whenever I really got to thinking about it, the Wi-Fi and data had went out so early, I would have been sitting there right next to where it struck, surrounded by power cords, surrounded by a computer, a monitor, and all kinds of stuff. And so it was clear skies. There was no reason for any of that to go out, especially the data. So it was almost like something was guiding me away from it, too, at the same time, and then guided little Betty Page away, back away from the cottage as well, because it did. It literally struck right next to where we would have been had she not made me have to come back and get her.
That is so wild because, yeah, twice, you escaped it twice. Sitting at the metal table, by the way.
Oh, it was metal. Yes. Oh, and it, with the canopy. That,
yes.
Yes.
With the, yeah.
And rod
around you. And then all your equipment, your technical equipment, all the cords, that would have been your fur. That would have probably done it. But then to go for that walk and ready to keep going, and you're like, oh, come on, ready. And she, yeah, you know, it's just amazing. Animals have such intuition.
They do. Yes. Betty, the one that you guys did a test on?
The ugly dog?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay, you gotta tell that story.
And Betty Page, the little one that led me away, led us all away from the lightning strike, she's a little naked rescue dog, and she's quite a character, and you can't really... She looks different from every angle, but we were trying to figure out her breed last night, and Kimana took a picture of her and put it in Google, and the very first thing that came up was ugly dog. She's so ugly, she's cute.
I think the closest she looks is it a crested Chinese
hairless dog?
Crested, yeah.
A Chinese crested
hairless dog. And she is so ugly, she's cute. She has no hair except for a few sprigs on her head.
Yeah, if you didn't like dogs, you would definitely think she was ugly.
So when they had shared this story with me, I was really truly shocked that Miranda wasn't severely injured or even killed. And it's insane that this all was happening on my mom's ranch the day that this dog died on its own, just an hour or so away from being euthanized. And so I think that it truly was Curly letting himself be known and probably protecting Miranda at that point as well. And it's so crazy to me that it was so loud. Like my mom said, it felt like it moved the house. But yet Miranda, who was front and center,
did not hear a single thing. So, pretty wild stuff for sure. Next up in line is my friend Ryan Blaker. He is out of Indiana. He is a police officer from over there. So, Ryan, thank you so, so much for your service and all that you do to help and protect your community. I absolutely love my LEOs, and I always have to brag when they are on. And that goes for all the first responders as well. So, this is what Ryan had to share.
Hi, my name is Ryan from Edinburgh, Indiana. Give a shout out to Edinburgh. Just want to talk about one experience I had. It was actually on September 13th of this year. First time I've ever experienced this, sleep paralysis. I know it's something that a lot of people have experienced, and there's medical thoughts to what it could be, and there's also paranormal thoughts. So, well, basically, it's around the 5 a.m. hour. I feel like I was half asleep, half awake, but I remember just feeling this intense pressure on me, like I couldn't move. My head was turned sideways. I couldn't turn my head all the way. I seen out of the corner of my eye, I seen a dark shadowy figure above my bed. And it's like it was just putting intense pressure on me. I couldn't move, couldn't speak. I could see my wife laying beside me, and I just couldn't clock anyone for help. So eventually, I was like, well, there's not much I can do here. So I just kind of laid there and waited for it to end, and it seemed like it took forever, but it may have only been about 5-6 minutes. And then it's like the pressure just came off me, and the figure disappeared, and I was able to finally wake up. And it was just dark, long, shadowy figure. Honestly, it kind of reminded me of something off of a Harry Potter movie or something, like one of the mentors. But yeah, that's all I have. Just want to say I'm a big fan of this podcast and paranormal powers. Everybody needs to check it out each week. Have a good day.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Ryan, for the podcast shout out and recommendation at the end there. I absolutely, truly appreciate it. Those kind of things really do make my day, so thank you so much for that. Now, when it comes to Ryan's experience, I did an episode about this a few years back, and like he said, there are so many people that have had these type of encounters, and they can be truly terrifying, leaving the person utterly confused. And like he said, he couldn't move. There's this figure here, and his wife was right there, and he couldn't even do anything, move or speak or anything. So you just have to feel super defenseless at that point. And for being an officer of the law, that must have been truly frustrating. Like, this should not be happening, you know? And like he said, it was 5 or 6 minutes, which, you know, is not a long time. But when you're dealing with something like that, it has to feel like an eternity. Next on my list of phenomenal guests is Angie Velasquez. You've heard her in the past on the radio show. She's been on the podcast several times. She's also my partner in paranormal crime. We've had so many fun adventures together, and I can't wait to see what comes next. Angie, she is based out of South Fork, Colorado, and her husband, they own Tompkins Hardware Store in Creed. So if you're ever in that sweet little mining town of Creed, please go and say hi to Angie and Delano. This is what Angie had to share.
Hello. My name is Angie, and I would like to talk about an incident that happened about 38 years ago. I had moved in with my mom and my sister, with my oldest son, and he was about 8 months old. I had put him down for bed and was in bed myself, and my sister came home. She was kind of an obnoxious teenager, but anyway, she came home. She was slamming some things around, and that really annoyed me. And we were having troubles anyway between the two of us. So, really annoyed with her, I got up and I went out and I told her that pretty much if she woke my baby, she would be getting him back to sleep since he was hard to deal with. You know, he had always had trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. So, anyway, I yelled at her, she yelled at me. I don't know how he stayed asleep, but he managed to not wake up. She stormed off to her room, and I stormed off in the opposite direction and went she could not have been in the kitchen. So, but I yelled at her anyway because it just wouldn't, it didn't make sense that she didn't do all the slamming. And then she was mad at me and accused me of doing the same thing. And I told her, I said, I definitely did not. And she told me that she did not. And then we both got really scared. And we just kind of, we went into the room and we just sat there and talked and waited for my mom to come home from work because it was pretty scary. And that wasn't the only time we had anything happen in that house. The water would come on all the time by itself. The radio would turn on and off by itself. And we were told that it was ancient Indian burial ground where our house was located. I kind of believe it. That's really when I really started to believe in the paranormal. Anyway, that's my story. Thank you.
So these two sisters, young women, at each other's throats, not getting along, a lot of tension. And I get that. That's how me and my sisters were. We are much better now as adults, but you know, I understand. And when you throw a baby in the mix, you know, Angie was a new mother, her baby just a few months old, and I don't have kids, but I could only imagine the relief when it's like, no baby cry, the baby's asleep, and then all of a sudden you just hear all this ruckus, and it's like, oh God, please, please, please. So it, to me, it sounds like a lot of poltergeist action is happening right there. And you throw a sacred burial ground in the mix, just a lot of stuff happening. So really interesting stuff for sure. Okay, next up is Joan Pillsbury. She is one of my mom's closest and dearest friends, and she's a very good friend of mine as well. I just have to say that friendships like this between her and my mom are just like phenomenal. It always amazes me. They've been friends since I was just a little knee-high child. Precious friendships for sure. Anyways, Joan is such a caring individual. She is out of beautiful Arizona, worked as a nurse, a woman of many talents. She has her own business doing a lot of awesome things. And I am so lucky that I get to see her, I believe, almost every year when I'm going to Arizona and stay with her for a few days at a time. So anyways, this is what Joan had to say.
So it was a couple of years ago. We went up to Bisbee to see Los Lonely Boys. They were playing outside, and it was to celebrate our friend's 60th birthday. And we stayed. I wish I could remember the name of the place. I can. But we stayed at this place known for its haunting, very old. And it was like a suite, a two-story suite. So a couple of bedrooms downstairs and then upstairs with a pull-out couch. So we got home. I was tired. I went down to go to bed. And all of a sudden, these are probably 12-foot high ceilings, the smoke detector went off. Buzz, 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 right? How it does periodically. Well, like, there's no way in heck I'm going to be able to sleep with that going on. So we called a woman who's running the hotel. She's already left, but tells us where we can find this extension ladder to take it down. So Tim puts up the extension ladder, holds it for me. I climb up, I take it down. I take the wires off, the battery's still in it, so it's still beeping. I come down off the ladder, and I take the battery out. So it's just an empty carcass. It's continuing to beep. I'm looking at it like, there's no way this is possible. Well, it continues to beep the whole time, probably 30 minutes. And the woman came back, and she took it and told us the next day that it beeped on her way home for 45 minutes and then stopped the carcass of the smoke detector.
Wow.
It must have been an internal backup battery. It was an old-fashioned one. There was nothing there. It was just plastic.
That is pretty wild.
That is really crazy.
So after Joan shared this encounter, my mom mentions something else.
Did you ever tell her about that time that you were in the auditorium with that psychic, and the psychic zeroed in on you and said, I don't know what you do, but there's all kinds of spirits around you,
Oh, yes.
And they're standing in line to talk to you? Do you remember that? That was Blake Robertson. He was new at the time as a medium. We had tickets in Sedona to go. He just focused on me. It
first with the, you know, alarm just constantly going off, and then even without the battery, it just had a life of its own, and for quite a while. And I just love that this medium zoned in on her. Line of people just waiting, dying, no pun intended, to talk to her. So I thought that was all just really, really cool. Next is a woman I am happy to call a friend and family, Joan Gunter. Her daughter, Rhonda, is married to my uncle slash godfather, Red, who, for my Pueblo people, they have Red's alibi. So go get a beverage, go say hi to the gang. Now, Joan has some things that she would like to share.
I woke up one morning about 2 a.m. Couldn't go back to sleep. And I looked over at a lamp that I had on my dresser. Now, this lamp has a dial on the front where you can lower the light for a night light, or you can turn it up as a regular light. And I noticed that this light was going up and down. It would go from a low light up to the high light. And it would go from low to high, as if somebody was turning the dial on the front. This happened probably about 10 times. I wasn't really afraid, but it was a little unsettling. So I got up and stayed up for a little bit, and then I went back to bed. The next day, I thought, well, maybe it was just a power surge. But usually when it's a power surge, the light would just blink on and off. It wouldn't go from low to high consistently. So it kind of scared me, so I gave the lamp to my daughter because I didn't, whatever the reason, I didn't want it to happen again. Well, the next day I had an appointment with my Reiki practitioner, and I went to see her, and she's also a medium. And when she was finished doing Reiki on me, she said, "I have a message from your husband." My husband died in July 2022. She says, "I have a message from your husband, and he said to tell you that he contacts you through lights in your home." And I told her the story, and she said she had chill bumps all over her. And I felt so bad because I gave the lamp away. But when I got home, I decided to talk to him about it, and there is a picture. I have a picture of him on the wall. And I went over there and I told him I was so sorry that I had given away the lamp, and I really did want him to contact me through lights in my home and to please continue to do that. About 30 minutes later, I was sitting on the couch, and I have my phone is a Z Flip phone, so I can flip it open if I get a call or if I want to use it. Well, the phone was closed. It was sitting next to me. The screen on the front was dark. And all of a sudden, the screen lit up, and I thought, oh, I'm getting a text or somebody's calling me. But then it went dark again, and then it went light again. It came on again, and then it went off again, and it came on again, and it did that about 6 times. And I realized that was Phil contacting me again. And since he passed away, I hadn't felt his presence, but I felt his presence so strong at that moment, and it was so sweet, and I knew that he was there with me, and it was just such a loving feeling. So I just wanted to share that with you.
So can I just say that I absolutely love that Joan's husband has been visiting her, and that at first it's like she didn't know it was him, gives the lamp away, the source of communication, if you will, and then, you know, this person tells her that her husband is communicating through the light sources. And I just love it when people get that validation that somebody may not be here physically, but guess what? They're still here in just a different way. And I even told her, why don't you get the lamp back? It's from your daughter. She'll give it back to you. And she's like, yeah, you know, she even offered. And I just said, no, honey, it's okay. Also, obviously, it's super sad that she lost him, but I'm so glad that he is still spiritually around. Next up is a woman who is a new friend. I was doing one of my weekend yard sales a few weeks ago, and she came up and found some treasures, and we had a wonderful conversation. Tawny Dawson is from Pueblo, Colorado. She is a caregiver for her dear husband, another new friend of mine, who you will be hearing from next. He was in law enforcement. He got terribly ill, but he is a warrior and he is kicking major ass. Prior to this, Tawny was working as a custodian at the Pueblo Police Department through a contractor. She absolutely just adored the job. She shared that everybody at the police department was incredibly amazing and just so incredible. They were beautiful people, and it was an honor for her to work there, making sure they had a clean place to come back to after being out on the streets protecting the amazing citizens of Pueblo, Colorado. They were so appreciative of just the littlest of things, like a clean bathroom and having toilet paper and paper towels and hand soap and what have you. She says that it was a great privilege to work there, even if others may think it was a degrading job. She said it is the least that she could do while they were out there risking their lives every single day for people. She said she definitely thinks she got the better deal. So this is what Tawny had to share.
My name is Tawny Dawson. I am from Pueblo, Colorado. My story is about our dear friend, Mike Pettiford. He passed away July 14th, 2022. Our hearts were broken and we were in total shock as we had just had a very wonderful visit from him not long before, maybe a couple of weeks at most. My husband Steve and I had been buying a few ghost hunting devices the year prior to Mike's passing, but never really used them, only maybe a couple of times, as I am a skeptic, even though I have witnessed some unexplained and terrifying things. Maybe that story can be told later. So one evening, my husband, myself, and my sister tried doing a reading to attempt to reach and hear from Mike. We had a temperature gun, a spirit box hooked to a speaker that also had a temperature indicator light, and an indoor security camera, along with our phones and pen and paper. We each had our own places we sat in the living room, plus we had our computer chair that Mike sat on while he was here, and a TV tray for our equipment. The computer chair was set in front of the TV tray, and upon it we placed an unlit cigarette, a can of Pepsi, which was Mike's favorite soda, and his memorial pamphlet. We were hoping there would be items to connect with Mike. Either my husband or my sister would ask questions, and we would try to ask something personal that only we had experienced with Mike for verification. I was the note taker. I would jot down the questions and responses. That way we can go back and afterwards try to make sense of what was said in the responses that we received. We would then try to validate the things we didn't understand. The most validating thing was that Mike kept asking where his boot was. We didn't understand at the time, but we told him we would try to find out. He also told us what he had experienced during or prior to his passing. He couldn't understand how he was gone. He was a bit upset at being here one minute, then gone the next. There was so much information he gave us, yet we didn't know much detail about it other than he's gone. We spoke to some of his closest friends who were amazed at the detailed information we had about their and Mike's relationship, especially since we didn't know these people, that they were actually spooked when hearing about it. We then reached out to Mike's family who live out of state and told them about information Mike had given us. To our amazement, most of the information was validated through them as well. Mike was homeless by choice. He worked when he needed things, but he also had many friends here in Pueblo who loved him. He would give you the shirt off of his back if you needed one. Even though he was only 39 years old, he lived a beautiful life and touched so many hearts, not just in Pueblo, but nationwide. He had what I call an old soul. He was so smart and he was such an amazing storyteller. One of the most validating things Mike told us, besides his question about his boot, which, by the way, there was only one boot in his belongings when they were given to the family, was a gun Mike had for personal protection since he was homeless. He showed it to us the last time he visited us before his passing. It wasn't in the items that were given to the family. Mike told us who had it. When we asked his best friend about Mike's gun, he told us that the person who claimed Mike gave him the gun called him and said that Mike was haunting him and being very aggressive toward him, that he wanted to give the gun back, to Mike's friend. This person, whom Mike lived with and worked for at the time of his passing, had stole the gun from Mike's backpack after Mike passed. Mike told us this in a reading, and when we spoke to his friend, that's what spooked him so badly. We actually got to hear Mike through the spirit box haunting this person and telling us what he was doing. Mike's friend told us what the gun thief had said, and we pulled out the dated paperwork from before any of this had happened, and he read it. I think at this point he felt very uneasy and scared at the idea that ghosts and spirits really do exist and communicate with you if you try and let them. I am no longer a skeptic. I believe Mike's spirit is at peace, and he is riding in the trains of heaven's track, entertaining people in the next life. We love you dearly, Mikey. Thank you, Tessa. I also want to thank Mike's family and friends that reached out and helped us along the way. We also have validating video of Mike learning how the spirit box temperature sensor works, and when he learned how to validate his presence with us by using solar motion lights. Happy Halloween.
So again, first of all, I just need to say I am so sorry for your guys' loss. Mike sounded like just such a phenomenal, fun, spiritual person, and obviously in his 30s, died way too early. But again, we're seeing so many stories today about loved ones coming and visiting after death. And again, that's just like one of the most amazing gifts that you can ever receive. And so rest in peace, Mike, knowing that you're here spiritually to help look after your friends and guide them as well, and the family as well, obviously. Next up is Tawny's husband, Steve Dawson. He worked at the Pueblo County Sheriff's Office until he was medically retired. And I had a wonderful conversation with Steve the same day that I met his beautiful wife. And we talked about everything paranormal, and he shared some paranormal and supernatural encounters that he himself had experienced. And he will be sharing some of that right now as well. But again, I just need to recognize my LEO friend. Thank you for your service and for making my hometown of Pueblo, Colorado a safer place. It is ever so greatly appreciated.
My name is Steve Dawson from Pueblo, Colorado. I want to share a story with you that connects paranormal prowlers and my brother that had passed away last year. On September 20th, 2024, my wife and I decided to go yard selling. There were only two yard sales that day, and one of them happened to be at Tessa's house. When we arrived, I stayed in the car while my wife went to go look at the yard sale. Exactly 1 year prior was when my wife and I saved my brother's life. That day, I received a phone call from my brother. He sounded very depressed and was crying on the phone and was wanting to commit suicide. My brother left that voicemail, so I called my brother back. I was able to talk to him on the phone for quite a while, and then suddenly the phone went blank. He was not responding, and when I tried to call him back, it was always going to voicemail, as if the phone was either dead or still on the line. At that moment, because we were so concerned, I looked at the time, and my brother usually took his lunch hour around that time, and would go to City Park to feed the birds and the squirrels. My wife and I decided to get in the car and go over to City Park and go see if we could find my brother. Unfortunately, we couldn't find him. The next stop was at his work. We drove by his work and happened to see his car sitting outside the business. When we pulled up, it seemed that Brad was asleep in his car. We had to circle around, and when we did, we seen a fireman at the fire station mowing the grass. We pulled over. I asked the fireman if he could do a welfare check on my brother. He informed me that we have to contact the police department first before he can come out there. My wife and I circled back over to my brother's work, and my brother was in the same position. The fireman gave me some good advice to make sure that my brother wouldn't get a DUI if he was asleep or if he was drunk. At that time, he was going through a lot of difficult times in life with his son and his marriage from before, and began drinking very heavily. My brother became an alcoholic, but I didn't know how bad of an alcoholic he was until just recently. We got over to the car. I knocked on the window several times. Brad would not respond. Fortunately, I was able to open up the driver door, and I noticed that he had his keys in one hand and his phone in the other hand. It took several attempts for me to wake my brother up, and when he did, he looked very confused, as if he didn't know me. I could smell the alcohol on his breath and heavily inside the vehicle. When I tried talking to my brother, he was so confused and so depressed. I looked back at my wife in the car, and I motioned for her to call 911. When the firemen, AMR, and the police arrived, my brother tried to act as if there was nothing going on. Fortunately, I was able to tell the firemen and the paramedics that my brother was contemplating suicide for quite a while at this time. When the paramedics asked my brother if he ever felt suicidal, my brother informed him yes. He wanted to know if a 9mm would kill him, and I always continued to tell him that I didn't want to talk about that stuff. The paramedics went ahead and took my brother to an observation, 72-hour observation up in Springs. Brad was there for the 3 days. He got released on Monday, and when he returned back home, he continually told me and my wife how thankful he was that we saved his life that day. When we found him, it was 90 degrees outside. He had all the windows rolled up, actually, and it had to be over 100 degrees inside that car. When the paramedics went ahead and took his blood alcohol content, he was 5 times over the legal limit. Unfortunately, almost a month later, in November 13th of 2023, my brother passed away. We were supposed to get together and go to the store one day to go get some stuff for Christmas. I was busy. I was able to text him. He texted me. Didn't think anything of it. On the 13th of November, I went to Lowe's to get some stuff, and I had a feeling that something was wrong with my brother. I contacted my wife and asked her, since she was going to Walmart, if she'd be able to drive by my brother's house to make sure that his car was there and if he was okay. My wife and daughter went out to Brad's house, knocked on the door and rang the doorbell several times, but there was no answer. My wife was able to look inside the window and see my brother's hand sitting on the couch. At that point, she knew that my brother has passed away. She called 911, the sheriff's department got there, called me, and informed me that my brother had passed away. That day that we got to the yard sale this year in 2024 was the same day that we found my brother the first time. During that time, 2 songs came on the radio that were very important to me and my brother. When my wife returned back to the car, she informed me that Chessa was the owner of Paranormal Prowlers, and that kind of made sense. I went ahead and I got out of the vehicle, and I went to go talk to Chessa. We exchanged stories back and forth about what happened with my brother and how significant that day was, because it was actually 1 year that we saved my brother's life. When we got back into the vehicle, I started looking at the timestamps of when I took pictures of my brother's car after the paramedics took him, and the time that the radio stations came on with those 2 songs. It happened to be the exact same times that my wife and I went looking for my brother, and the same exact times when those songs came on is when we found my brother and was able to save his life. I believe that the connection between Paranormal Prowlers and my story is that it probably wouldn't have happened, although in the back of my mind, I knew that that was the 1 year anniversary of saving my brother. I want to thank Tessa for giving me this opportunity to let you guys know that story. It was very heartfelt and it meant a lot to me, and I appreciate everything that Tessa has done. I do believe in ghosts, and I've always have. And I think this was just one more reason or one more moment for me to be able to have one more memory with my brother. Thank you very much, Tessa, and I hope you enjoyed the story, all of you. Thank you.
And so, truly heartbreaking that he did end up passing away, and my heart just totally goes out to Steve for that. I just can't even imagine losing a sibling. And he did talk a bit more how he's had signs from his brother, you know, like sounds and just different things. So he's definitely still around, which again, just clarifying him here. And I do love that. And Brad sadly was suicidal. So many people are. And just know that you are not alone. Want to throw that number out to you guys, the suicide hotline. Do you have any suicidal thoughts or tendencies or anything like that? Depressed? please call 1-800-273-8255. Again, suicide hotline is 1-800-273-8255. And it is pretty neat that we actually met the anniversary of the day that they saved him last year. Next up is my good friend, Teresa Arguello, the biggest animal lover you will ever meet. Like, this is kind of funny, actually. Just the other day, we were recording her bit and she came over to do that. And so we hung out for a while and she was leaving. So I walked her out and there was this little gnat that would not leave me alone, like no joke. And so I go and clap in my face and she's like, please tell me you did not just kill an animal in front of me. And I said, it was a gnat. And she's like, it's still one of God's creatures. And so it was funny because I was like, I looked at my hands and there was nothing there. And I was like, well, if it means anything, I didn't get it. And so anyways, we talked for a couple seconds and then I turn around to leave and that bastard got in my face again. And I go to instinctively do it and I stopped and walked away. But anyways, a gnat's life was saved yesterday. It's like, she loves animals. If you have a favorite band, she's probably been to their concert. She has her own pet business, her own pet sitting business. Just a gal of many talents, that's for sure. So here we go. Here is what Teresa had to share. It's a few different things, actually. So here we go.
So I have a story about when my roommate decided to move back in. He had brought something into the house with him. And I never had anything happen in my house before he came back. So one night we're all sitting there watching a movie and it's winter time and all of us have our arms crossed as we're watching. And I think it was a scary movie, if I remember right. But there's two bedrooms in the house and one of the rooms, you could hear the door open behind us and shut. And somebody walked behind us, like the floor creaking, and then went into my bedroom and went out the window. And the window shut. And there's no way because it's winter. There's no way that it could have happened. So that's just one of the things that happened while he was there. There was another night where we were watching a movie, another one. And I remember I was sitting there and all of a sudden I got a slap across the face. My hair moved and everything. And I hit my roommate and I said, what the hell, Josh? Why did you just hit me across the face? And his arms were crossed and he looked at me so puzzled. He's like, I didn't even touch you. I didn't do nothing. And I was like, oh my gosh, something's going on. Because the whole time that he was there, something weird was happening at my house. So many things.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I remember going to the movies and whoever I talked to last before I came home, that's who I'd hear in my house that wasn't there. Like one night I came back from the movies and I just talked to my neighbor and she was checking on my dogs while I was at the movies. And the door was locked. And I was like, well, what the heck? And I started knocking on the door and I could hear the dogs barking and I could hear my neighbor yelling at the dogs to stop barking. And I was like, and so I knocked even more and she never came to the door. And I was like, what the heck? So I called her on my cell phone and she answered. And I said, hey, Elizabeth, I'm here. And she goes, okay. I go, well, then just let me in. And she goes, I'm at my house. And I was like, I just heard you in my house telling the dogs to quiet down. And she wasn't even inside my house.
Oh, God.
Crazy. But that seemed to happen a lot. Like, whoever I talked to last would be the last, where I would hear that before I walk into my house. I'd hear their voice doing something in my house before I walked in. It was crazy. Yeah, I had just started doing my pet sitting business, and I was at this house, and I kept noticing at a certain time at night that their hallway light would turn on, and I was like, oh, they must have a motion light or a timer light that would make it turn on, and they told, well, they came back. That was the first time I pet sat, and they came back, and I said, oh, I was like, your hall light comes on at a certain time. I was like, you must have a timer on it, and they looked at me puzzled, and I said, you have a timer, right? And they said, we don't have a timer on our lights. And so it was really weird. I was like, okay. So the light would just turn on, you know, at a certain time at night. And it was like, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning or something like that. It was really crazy. So then I pet sat for them again. And they had two Australian shepherds, and they slept with me all the time. So I felt a little bit comfortable about the whole light thing because the dogs didn't really react to it. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and when I opened my eyes, I was laying on my back and opened my eyes, and there was this face that was looking down at me. And he looked like Jack Sparrow. This is before that movie even came out, but he looked just like him. And I, like, moved to the side to get away from him, and he stood up and he vanished in front of me. It was so creepy because he was so close to my face that he could have, like, kissed me. It was so crazy. Yeah.
Jeez.
It was creepy.
And what were those the same people that had to do with ashes?
No, that's a different one. I have so many. No, this one's recent. This friend of mine that does animal rescue with me, her husband just passed away, sadly. He found out he had cancer, and 2 months later, he passed away. So they just went on a trip to the Bahamas because the husband had a bucket list, and he wanted to go and do all these certain things, but he passed away before it could happen. And they went to the Bahamas, her and her, I think her daughter, but they were going to throw his ashes in the ocean, a little bit of his ashes in the ocean. And while I was at their house, one of the dogs is sitting on his chair, and I could tell that she's just really missing her dad. And I'm telling her, it's okay, Shiloh, it's okay. Yeah, it's like, your dad's always with you. And they have like four dogs, but all of them were like in front of me when I was talking to her. And all of a sudden I heard this noise behind me, and I turned around to see what it was. And this picture fell over, and I looked at the picture, and it said, I'm always with you. So I was like, that's confirmation for Shiloh and the puppies. And then there was another night when I came over to check on them. And I was in the back of the house, and the dogs were with me. And then I heard somebody come in the front door, and the dogs rushed towards the front door too because they heard it too. And they started barking. And I heard a man's voice go, shh, like telling them to quiet down. And I thought it was David. And I was like, he's taking a long time to come to the back. What the heck's taking him so long? So I go to go look up front, and the dogs are still staring at the door, and there's nobody there. There's nobody at the door. And I text the owner, and I told her, I was like, hey, I think your husband's still around. He's kind of scaring me. You know, he's doing these things. So I told her what happened, and she said that he did that all the time, every time he came in the house, that he would shush the dogs to stay quiet. And I asked her about the ashes being put in the ocean, you know, spread, and she said that they had just done it when I was texting her. They just did it. So I don't know if that's confirmation that he was, you know, there or with them or all above. I don't know.
That's amazing. Yeah, you have so much to share, obviously.
Okay. So I'll tell you about my first premonition ever that I ever had. This is when I first started having premonitions. It was 2011, and I was having premonitions. I had this premonition that the world was going to end. I kept dreaming about the world ending. Like, I was freaking out so bad because every night I had a dream about a little bit more about how the world was going to flood and how there was, like, people were going to die. And one of the dreams, like, God or, I don't know, Holy Spirit, somebody came to me like that and said that I had to stay, like, I wasn't going to die because I had to be here for the animals. And I started freaking out in my dream. And I started to run and unclip dogs from chains and everything because I was freaking out. Because I was like, I do not want to be responsible for this. I can't handle this. This is too much. I don't want to stay. And he said that I wasn't going to die. And he told me that the way to live was to stay by the mountains, that I had to be in the mountains. So another night went by, and I had a dream that there was this black guy that was with me, and I didn't know him. But he didn't want to die, and he asked me how he could live, and I said, okay. I was like, they told me that I just have to go to the mountains, and we'll be fine. So we started running up the mountain, like to get up to higher ground. And all of a sudden this tree came falling down on us, killed him, and broke my back. And then the tree set back up. And it was so crazy because, like, I had back problems, like back problems then. And when I woke up that morning, my back was killing me that morning. It was crazy. And I remember in my dream when he died, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, I can't save anybody. Like, it's whoever he chooses to live, you know? So I was a little freaked out about that. So I was freaking out. I was married at the time. I had some roommates there, and I was just always constantly crying. I was begging them to send me to the mental hospital because I was like, I can't handle it. Something's going to happen. I don't know when, but something's going to happen. And I was freaking out. So as the date came closer, I remember I had this scratchy ticket, and it was a yin yang ticket. And like, there's two winning numbers, and I scratched the two winning numbers, and it said 311. And I remember it hit me so hard that I was like, that's the date. That's the date that this event is going to happen. And I was freaking out even more because I was like, oh my God, the world is ending on this day. On this day, I know it. So I remember I went to bed at 3:10 and I did not know what I was going to wake up to. I really didn't. And I woke up. Before that, I had my last dream I had was that there was going to be a tsunami. And it was going to be in Hawaii. And I have family in Hawaii. And I started calling my uncle and asking him, you know, have you guys heard about anything? Like, are you guys going to have like a tsunami? Have you heard anything about weather? Anything? I'm like, well, if anything happened, I'm like, you just have to go to higher ground. I was like, you go to the mountains, because that's what I was told. And I remember telling my uncle that, and they were like, nothing's coming through that's telling us that there's anything's going to happen. Like, everything's fine, whatever. But my dream kept telling me that, you know, it's going to happen in Hawaii. So anyway, so I go to bed on 3:10, not knowing what I was going to wake up to. I wake up on 3:11, like 7 o'clock in the morning. And that was really rare at the time, because I never got up before 10. So I woke up at 7 and the TV's on, and this huge tsunami had hit Japan and was heading towards Hawaii. And luckily it did not do anything to Hawaii, but it was supposed to. And I was freaking out. I was just freaking out because I was like, that was my dream. It was so crazy. That was my first dream that I ever had of a premonition. And after that, then I started having so many different ones.
Yeah.
Even I had a dream about the little girl.
Yeah, talk about that little girl.
Yeah, Jessica Ridgway. I had a dream about her, like, days before she got kidnapped.
Before she hit national news, before she was just a little girl.
Yeah, I didn't even know her.
And so,
even hear her name before.
Yeah, what were you seeing? Like,
I had a dream that I was standing there, and this little girl grabbed my hand and asked me if I wanted to see the last day of her life. And I walked with her, and she had this project in her hands, so her hands were full, and she had a backpack on, and she wore glasses. And I remember we were walking down the street to her school, and she was so proud about her project that she had made. This guy was walking behind us, and I could tell that she was nervous and that the guy was making her uncomfortable, like she knew the guy. And I said, well, why don't we go through the alley? Because I saw this car shop there. And I was like, there's more people there. You can't do anything in front of people because they'll stop him. So we started walking towards the shop in the alley. And he grabbed her just before they could even see that we were right there. So I remember knowing it was a dream. And I said, okay, if I can't save her in real life, I can save her in my dream. And I remember telling myself, envision you have a stun gun. And I had it in my hand, and I was hitting it with my stun gun, and he dropped her, and she dropped her project. She's tried to run away, but he grabbed her again and captured her. And he took her, he did some sexual stuff to her, and he killed her. He strangled her. He cut her head off and put her body in the field. But before he did that, he took her backpack off, and I think I remember her glasses were also off, and he just put them there, and then the body was found in the field. And then I had that dream on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then Friday came, and there was national news about her missing. And I remember it being on TV and saying it out loud, like I just knew that she wasn't alive anymore. And I just said, they're not going to find her alive. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. So that next Friday, they found her body in a field with her head cut off. And her backpack, I think glasses were found somewhere else. And that I knew that she liked pink and purple because she was wearing those colors when I was with her. But I didn't know that that was her favorite colors until all this came out later about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's absolutely just utterly heartbreaking. And I like to name shame Austin Sig. I'll look it up. But, yeah, what a coward. I mean, to murder anybody, to take any life is just, like, beyond me. But a little 10-year-old girl, so defenseless. And that's amazing that, you know, you didn't know her. You weren't connected to her. And yet, days before she was kidnapped and murdered, you, like, saw this sweet little girl, you know, asking for help.
Yeah.
So as soon as you saw her on TV, you knew that was the girl?
Yeah,
like it immediately.
Was just, immediately, I just said it out loud that that she was already gone. Like I knew it already. Like she wasn't alive.
Mm.
So it's crazy. And then I have dreams about angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have some weird dreams. And I don't smoke. I don't drink. Actually, I don't do that because I see people's faces change. I don't like being under the influence of anything because I see things like that too much. And so it freaks me out too much.
Yeah.
So pretty intense stuff that Teresa had to share. It's pretty amazing. It's mind-blowing to me when it comes to the whole thing with Jessica Ridgeway. I mean, that was all over the news. Like, I remember when she disappeared, and it just was so heartbreaking. And so, just that whole thing was pretty crazy. And then, with the spreading of the ashes, the wife on the cruise, and then Teresa hearing the husband go shushing the dogs when he always did that. Just, like, a lot of intense stuff. Then the tsunami, of course. And then after we were done recording, I'm getting some cake. So, okay, a couple days ago, we had gone to Red's Alibi, and we were having some drinks, and Teresa comes and joins us. And it was my birthday a few days earlier, so she had brought some stuff. And one of them was this badass, epic Freddy Krueger cake. I mean, oh my God, so amazing. And then a few other things, amazing things. She got me two handmade tumblers. One of them had my sweet dog on it, Midnight. And then the other was friends with the movie villains. And then two amazing kick-ass shirts. I mean, this gal is just like everything was like made by Colorado local businesses. And it's just amazing. And so anyways, I go into, when we're done recording, I was like, who wants some cake? And so I go get some of that amazing Freddy Krueger cake, and it tastes delicious too. Oh my God. And so I go and I do that, and I come back. And well, as I'm in the kitchen, I'm hearing Therese go, hey, what's this? Did somebody put this here? Whose change is this? It was a dime and a penny. And apparently, she was telling me and Casey that her dad, who is sadly no longer here, that he leaves signs for her, and it's always 11 cents. And that wasn't there when we were recording the whole time, because she would have noticed, especially her. But yeah, it just all of a sudden just was there. And so I just kind of wanted to mention that as well, because that is pretty cool. And last, but certainly not least, my dear Aunt Rhonda. She is out of Pueblo, Colorado, And she, too, is a huge, gigantic animal lover and major music lover. And her and my uncle actually are the ones who gifted me the Godsmack ticket. And we had so much fun. Here is what my Aunt Rhonda has to share.
About 3 weeks ago, my grandpa was dying. So we, Reggie and I, had decided to drive to California to see him before he passed away. Well, we were just a few hours away from there. It's a really long drive. We missed him by 2 hours. He passed away, and we were still 2 hours out. And I was driving at the time, so we had to pull over because I got pretty emotional when I got the news. And we switched sides so Reggie could drive. And we got back in the truck, and the car, all of a sudden the car wouldn't start, and then tried again, and he finally got it started. But when he got it started, every single one of the lights all started flashing and flickering. And I thought, what? That's weird, because that's never happened before. So finally, we took off, and Reggie noticed that the horn sounded funny, and he just had a feeling that something was wrong with the battery. So the next day, he drove over to a car shop, a car accessories shop, and bought a battery. Because, yes, the battery in the truck was completely dead, which we had just bought that battery not too long ago. So, you know, they say that when the dead come to visit you, they use all the energy that they can. So I believe that those lights flickering was a visit from my grandpa. And then the other day, about a week ago, my mom had spoke to a medium who said that my dad had been trying to talk to her through the lights because my mom had been having some light flickering issues in her house. Well, of course, I got all emotional and said, Dad, talk to me. I wish you would talk to me. I miss you. I'll talk to you too. And well, that evening I went to go clean the cat box and I sat down to do it. And I have a little light in the corner that I use so I can see. And I turned the light up on the brightest one and it just started flickering off and on, off and on, off and on. And it did it about 4 times and then it stopped. And I turned around and I said, Hi, Dad. I love you. I know that's you. I knew that was Dad busy.
So I have to say that I knew they were racing against time. Rhonda's grandfather was dying. He knew it. She knew it. They had a conversation like a week or so prior. And he's just like, usually he's like, okay, just save your money, honey, and you could come next time. But she said, like, should I go out there? And he said, yes, yes, you need to. And so she knew it was very serious. And it was just so sad because they were trying their damnedest to get there. And they were just like 2 hours away and did not make it. But I think it is so amazing that he actually came to her. You know, like he knew that she was trying with all her might to desperately get to him. And since she couldn't make it, he came to her. And to me, that's just absolutely amazing. When she told me that, she texted me the day that he died and told me what was happening. And I was like, oh my God, that's so him. And so may he rest in peace. He got to be in his late 90s, which is amazing. It's no easy feat. Not many people get to get up that high. And also, I think it's wonderful that her father reached out to his wife and her. And so I just think that's great. I hope everybody enjoyed the annual Halloween episode. And again, it literally took all day to get it where it is. I don't know what happened, but it was insane. I was like literally on the phone 4 hours, video call with my boyfriend who's like a computer whiz, and he was trying to help me. Then I was on the phone with a dear friend of mine, Dennis, for a good hour and a half, and he was trying to help me. And then I was like in tears, pulling my hair out. My sister came. I was actually on the phone crying to Teresa when my sister got here. And so, yeah, I mean, It took forever to get this episode to where it is, but it's here, baby. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. And a big, huge, gigantic shout out to all of my people. Gail Goth, Barry Fitzgerald, Miranda Hoot, Kimana Salura, Ryan Blaker, Angie Velasquez, Joan Pillsbury, Joan Gunter, Tawny Dawson, Steve Dawson, Teresa Arguello, and Rhonda Morrow. Did you enjoy this bonus episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to fret. Hit up any of those phenomenal podcast platforms such as Deezer, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Downcast. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone. See you next week, and
happy Halloween.
Whew. Yeah, I'm sick. That hurt like hell. Happy Halloween, everybody.